Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So it's all for play for still?
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. And do not adjust your television sets, as they used to say. That is not Paddy that you're looking at. Today we have a substitute in for Paddy, and today I'm delighted to be joined by somebody who is coming to us from a place that I can almost guarantee has an awful lot better weather than both England and Ireland. We have the wonderful Ross from the South African Villains, Aston Villa Supporters Club. And, you know, Ross, what's it like down in South Africa at the moment, I suppose, weather-wise, everything-wise, and what's it like being an Aston Villa fan down in South Africa?
Well, you're spot on with the weather. It's definitely a lot better with all the most countries up there in the north, UK and Ireland. We have too much sun here. I can give you some of it.
Absolutely. I'll give you my address afterwards. You can post me up some. It's like that guy over in, where is he? I think he's based in County Mayo here in Ireland, and he actually sells bottled Irish air. So just gets a bottle, closes it and sells it to the United States market. And people buy it. And yeah, so if you want to send me up some South African sun, I'll gladly buy it off you.
Sounds good. We can do a trade.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So tell me a small bit. We will get into the Everton stuff, and there's been a small bit of news about Aston Villa over the course of the day today. But tell me a small bit about your club. But tell me a small bit about being an Aston Villa fan in South Africa. Number one, as there are many of them. Number two, why Aston Villa, I suppose, is not a good question.
Well, first and foremost, thank you, Neil, for having me on the show. I'm delighted to be on. I've been following your guys' podcasts and shows for quite a while, so I'm feeling quite happy to be on. In terms of Villa fans here in SA, there's not a huge number of us here. You know, a lot of people that are supporting Villa are quite of the older generation, watching Villa in the golden era from the 80s and 90s and so forth. So very few of us. We have got a Facebook page up, which has about 1,000 followers, and an Instagram that's just under 1,000. But even though there is not a lot of us, the community and the family bond is strong, as it is with all villains around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very seldom that you go to somewhere whereby you won't be, you know, you won't be within touching distance of a Lions club or a Villain supporters club or whatever. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic hit, I was in Cleveland and I just text Paddy and I said, Jesus, Paddy, there isn't a Villa or a Lions club here. He goes, there absolutely is. And where you're staying is only about 10 minutes away from where that pub is. And I never made it because I got too drunk and I watched the game on my phone. So that's a story for a completely different day. But, you know, it's mad. It's one of the things that I did when I first started the podcast. I had quite a lot of supporters clubs on with us. And it's fascinating to know, you know, about how the global reach of Aston Villa. And sometimes I get caught up and think that, you know that it's mad to hear that, but like obviously people from Birmingham are wondering why maybe me based in Ireland would support Aston Villa, but there is quite a lot of Aston Villa fans here in Ireland, obviously because of Paul McGrath and so on. But you know, you mentioned that there's about 1,000 of you guys there in South Africa, and would you guys ever meet up? Is there any kind of rituals that you guys would go through from meeting up to watch games or stuff like that, or do you do it once a year or anything?
Well, actually, Neil, it's funny you say that, because we're meeting up for the Everton game at an Irish pub this weekend. So we do get to meet up very seldom nowadays because of COVID. The Villains, or the South African Villains, is actually quite new. So I founded the club in 2019, and my whole mindset about it was I knew there was Villa fans in South Africa, and South Africa is quite a big country for those of you who might not know. We're huge. So I knew that there was Villa fans here. It's all about finding that central spot to meet and talk and, you know, interact with each other. And social media is a beautiful thing. You know, you can find a lot of people quite easily on it. So I started the fan club in about 2019, and it started gaining traction. A lot of Villa fans saw like, hey, there's actually a central spot for all of us to talk and gather to. And about a couple months later, I managed to get in touch with Aston Villa. And thankfully, I got verified and became an official fan club, which helps a lot. It gives our fans, our supporters, our members that sense of officiality, you know. They're able to feel confident to join the fan club. So, yeah, it was unfortunate that we became official during COVID, and we haven't been able to have so much meetups, but we have got one this Saturday. So if there's any South Africans that are watching this and want to meet up, please feel free to drop in the comments and we can see where you are in South Africa and find your closest base.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, that's one of the reasons I got to meet Paddy, you know, was I started his podcast. The next thing, Paddy, I get a message on social media going, Jesus Christ, an Irish fella doing a podcast. And I said, yeah, an Irish fella trying to do a podcast, Paddy. Do you want to hop on and chat? You know, and that makes such a big difference. The fact that, you know, as you said, social media can be beautiful and it can be ugly in equal measure. But when it goes right, you know, I've said it a couple of times to Paddy, and I've said it a couple of times in this podcast that, you know, without having the kind of interaction with Aston Villa fans during the pandemic, you know, it would have been a bit more difficult. You know, it would have been more difficult, and you know, having that outreach, and as you said, with the Facebook page and with Instagram, is really, really good. So I don't know how many people would be listening to this in South Africa. I'm always surprised to see when people start dropping in where they're listening from. Is actually crazy. Like we had somebody listening in Vanuatu before. We've had somebody listening in Oman. We regularly have people in. We have people in far flung places like Turkey. Regularly listen to the podcast. So you never know where anybody is, and absolutely check out the guys in the AVFC South African Villains supporters club as well. But there's a couple of comments coming in here. Paddy changed it up a small bit. He's it's just a different room. He's just broadcasting from a different room. That's all it is. Nothing different to Paddy here at the moment. We've got a couple of questions. We've got a couple of comments here from some of the guys, and let's go through it. First of all, I didn't apologize for my tardiness. I usually don't, because I'm usually late anyway, but I feel I should tonight. We're supposed to go at 7. Had a bit of a baby dilemma who wouldn't go to sleep, so daddy duty had to come first. So it was all good, though. I can see that there doesn't seem to be any struggle going on indoors at the moment, so that's all good. But so contrary to popular belief, Paddy didn't have too many beers and fall asleep, and that's why we were late. But a couple of comments here, and look, I suppose we'll talk about general kind of stuff first before we start chatting about the Everton. We finish up with the Everton piece here. Cloudy with a Chance of UFOs says, hope you a good night. Doesn't look like Suarez is happening, by the way. I need to get that DM in first and foremost. Sakaria or Bazuma will do, or both. Lol. I suppose just a little piece on that. I did a piece on Suarez last night, and I think the biggest reason that I haven't thought about it, I put it out because look, the links are a bit spurious at the moment, and if it's going to be anything, it's going to be a summer thing.
Yeah, we linked to nearly everybody at the moment.
Absolutely, 100%. But I just thought it was interesting to see the different type of striker he is in comparison to the two strikers we have. Granted, there is a rap sheet that comes with Luis Suarez, I suppose. Nothing else, and you take nothing else from the podcast I did last night, it's the type of striker that we're missing potentially. They could come in and form a stable with the two boys that we have here. With the two boys we have are doing okay individually. They need to learn how to play together as well. That's obvious. But what Claudie says here is for me is the defensive midfielder first and foremost. I think that. I even said it during the game, during the United game, if Aston Villa had Nemanja Matic, we would have won that game healthy at the weekend. But
we need that anchor.
What's your views on the defensive midfielder?
You know, it's a tough one. Look, whoever we want to buy will definitely be a long-term target. I mean, it's unlucky that Nakamba got injured. He's a good player. But whoever we do get will have to be an immediate upgrade from Nakamba. And you know, this is something that I was talking about with my members. It's unfortunate because we're at that transitional stage at Aston Villa where every player that we're going to end up buying now is going to be and has to be better than the current player in their role, in their position. So it's a tricky one because, in my opinion, I look at the defense and Konsa was injured and the only person we had backup was House. Mm. Now, is he good enough cover for if either him or Mings get injured for potentially the season? I'm not sure. Then there's also another issue with the squads looking quite bloated. Yes, we've got good players, but majority of the players are not the type, in my opinion, to take us to Europe or even sustain the European spots and fight for that. So if we're going to be looking to buy up some players, I think we need to look to get rid of some before we do. We need to balance the books.
Yeah. And I think that there's probably bits and pieces involved in that. And, you know, when we look at, I suppose, even yesterday and today, it's highly likely that Jadon Philogene-Baddeis goes to Stoke if he's not gone already. It's more or less ink needs to dry in the contract stuff. And then we've seen Cameron Archer today go to Preston North End. And I think that they're two fantastic loans because, you know, they've, first of all, with Jadon Philogene-Baddeis, he's been regularly contributing on the bench, off the bench, or not off the bench, but he's been on the bench. He's been around the first team squad for Aston Villa at the moment. And for him to progress, I think it's a smart decision to let him go for the rest of the year. We will have Trezeguet and Bertrand Traore coming back after the AFCON. Trezeguet may not even be here but come the end of January. Who knows, depending on what kind of AFCON he has. But, you know, having Philogene-Baddeis not playing is not any benefit to us or to him. And I think Stoke is a fantastic move for him. And it's interesting the way they've pulled a lot of players back from loan. And now they seem to have gotten better loans for these two players who feature for the first team this season. But Philogene-Baddeis, for me, needs to show that he can get chalk in his boots, hug the touchline, get down the line as a traditional winger and get crosses in. And I'm telling you, with Michael O'Neill's team at Stoke, you know, he's going to have all the opportunity in the world to do that because that's what they do. They get balls into the box and it'll be an interesting one for him. And he'll be able to take his licks and take his kicks while he's out there from some championship defenders.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, you touched on the fact that Villa have actually recalled quite a couple of players. Barry was one. Kane Kessler, another one. We recalled, I think it was Seb Raven. There was a couple of players that we ended up calling back. And, you know, I have to applaud the management from that. They could see that they weren't getting on well. Well, mind you, Kessler was doing quite well, but for Barry and Seb, they looked like they were just not fitting right with the team they loaned out to. Like, Barry wasn't getting any time at Ipswich. Yeah. But, yeah, I agree. In terms of Jadon, the championship is definitely going to be a step up for him because he's going to learn to actually get some strength, take the knocks, take the hits, and try and stand up. So it will definitely be toughening him up for that. I was reading something about Kane Kessler. It looks like he's even pushing Matty Cash for a starting berth. And I found that interesting because I watched his match for Swindon against Man City and he was not too bad. He was doing quite well. So it'll be interesting to see how Villa bring through the youth players, which is also why I fathom why we have to keep looking into the transfer market. I'm quite old school where I feel we have the academy. We've got a good academy. Look to try and bring some players in from that, even if it is for a couple spells in a match. We don't need to replace whole players like Nakamba. He's only injured for a couple months or so. I'm sure that we have some other replacement for that lying within the club. Bissouma was rated at £50 million from Brighton. Zakaria, I don't think we're getting.
No, I think he's on his way to Juventus, and I think he'll go on a free transfer. But that might free up Weston McKennie, who's been a long-term I was going to say a long-term love interest of mine. But you know what I mean. I've loved him. I can't say yes. I loved him long term, but you know what I mean. I've wanted him at Aston Villa for a while.
Exactly. You know, there's other targets there, and I know that we can look within the club to just have that short-term replacement. Just until we finish the season, and then Gerard can evaluate the squad as a whole. We can see where we finish up in the league, and the board and Gerard can make some decisions and goals for the next season that's coming in.
And you know what's an interesting one as well, Ross? Just while we're having a conversation about that with the youth players, maybe the club might. Like, to me, it wouldn't be an absolute travesty if we brought in a central defensive midfielder that was 30, 31, 32. There was an experienced head that could come in, slow the game down. Because, as you say, I think the club really like Arjen Reiki. I think the club really like Chuck Moeka. They want Chuck Moeka to play. And I think the club really like Hayden Lindley, who's somebody who needs to bulk up because he's a good defensive midfielder. He's just a bit small at the moment, I think. Although, ideally, I'd imagine he probably moves to somewhere like right back as the years go on. But what I'm trying to get at here, even Lamar Bogart, I think Lamar Bogart doesn't end up playing centre-half in senior football. I think he moves out to more of an N'Golo Kante position in that defensive midfield. So maybe they bring in a kind of an old experienced head to be able to come in and slow the game down. It won't be the sexy signing. It mightn't be the one that everybody loves, and it might get a bit of backlash at times. But I think they could do a lot worse than bring in somebody like somebody have the effect like maybe an Esteban Cambiasso did at Leicester a couple of years ago before they went on to win the league, and it allowed them to solidify that midfield and then bring in better players. And then they were able to then after Cambiasso, they were able to bring in the likes of N'Golo Kante. Then they've replaced him with Ndidi, and you know they've identified the type of player that they want to play in that position. At this moment in time, because we've had flux of two team managers this year, and particularly, we didn't really identify the type of player that we wanted while Dean Smith was here. I think that might give us an option to do so. If we have a solid defensive midfielder, it's maybe a small bit up there in years 30, 31, 32. See if we've got anything coming through the academy. And if not, we can dip back into the transfer market again. It's a risky strategy, but it kind of ties in what you're saying there, that if we do have somebody that we think in time to come will be able to slot into a defensive midfielder role, why not bring in that kind of stopgap? Yeah. It won't be popular, but maybe it could. Maybe it could happen.
Exactly. Happen. I mean, that's being realistic and it's being logical. You know, we don't want to overspend more than we already have. I mean, we've made some good signings this window, and in my opinion, it's been a success. I'm happy with it. But pointing back to the youth team, it's the same team that won the Youth FA Cup last season. So they've got to be good. They've got to be good. And they've been called back to the club from their respective loans for a reason. Gerard and the Aston Villa board have got a plan for that. So, yeah, if you're going to bring in an experienced central defender just to calm things down, as you say, and influence the players around him, I mean, Mings has been quite inconsistent. And House probably also needs a little bit of a confidence booster. So if you bring in somebody who has that experience, that reputation, I'm not sure what type of players out there that would fit that type of that image that we're putting there. But if Villa can do that, even on a loan signing until the end of the season, I'll be more than happy.
Yeah, as you said, padding, we're bloated in some areas. We need to kind of get a bit more depth in other areas, and that's for sure. Look, if they go in and spend 50 million on a top-class central defensive midfielder, I'm not going to give out about it, put it that way. So I'm not trying to be contrarian for the sake of it. I'm just saying that there's many, many different ways to cook the pudding here. So a couple of other comments. Let's see this here. Paddy says, welcome, Ross. Don't take any grief from Neil. That's okay. Paul Corbett says, with regards to, I suppose, for this is for the team setup, how he feels the team was set up against Everton, is keep the midfield the same as United, need to give Sanson a run, push McGinn into number 10, like with Scotland, and next to Buendia behind Watkins. Coutinho to be given the last 25 minutes then. I think you might be on to something, but I think it's likely going to be Jacob Ramsey that would be pushed up into that position.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with that. You know, Sanson did really, really well. I was impressed with him, and I was impressed with Buendia against United. I mean, yes, Sanson did make a mistake that led to the goal. But prior to that, he was playing, I think, the best that I've ever seen him in a Villa shirt. He was running up and down the pitch. He was closing players down. And he complemented the midfield well. It gave Ramsey that room to roam. So, yeah, I agree with that. Why not? Yeah. Let's try that. I mean, what have we got to lose? We're going to be safe from relegation this season. The only way is up. If we can try and get close to the Europe spots, I mean, yes, we'd love to have Europe. But I've written that off a long time ago. And that's not me sounding pessimistic. That's just me sounding and giving a good expectation to build on something under Gerrard for next season and get those players to gel together.
I think, yeah, and I think we will see a lot of combinations in midfield this season as the season goes on, just from, because I think that the Steven Gerrard likes to rotate his sixes and likes to rotate his eights. He did it against, he did it when he was with Rangers as well. So, you know, it is definitely something that he's going to look at going forward. Let's take a little look, I suppose. Oh, actually, just beforehand, yes, Courtney House did sign a new 3.5-year deal today. So we're very pro Courtney House in this on the podcast here. So I didn't think it was going to happen, but I think that he is. I think he's a good squad depth piece. He spoke well in his interview today. Is he going to go away and win? Win the Ballon d'Or as a centre half or anything like that? No, he's not. But he's exactly what you kind of need from your third, fourth centre half. And if he does need to play against Everton at the weekend, I think that we'll see him acquit himself well. And he may very well need to play at the weekend, Ross, because Kanza is going to be touch and go. I can't imagine he's going to be played at the weekend, which would leave the door open for Courtney House, and then potentially we might see Josh Feeney, Lamar Bogard, or Phil Svinkels on the bench then, which is once again going back to what you said about bringing through the youth.
Yeah, I also rate House. I think he's so good for Villa, and he slots in easily. I mean, when he made his first appearance for Villa against United at Old Trafford, he scored that goal. I mean, he slotted in so well after being out of the team for quite a while. Mm. And I think back then, Tunzebe was still ahead of him. And obviously, Tunzebe wasn't eligible against his parent club. So when House came in and he pocketed Ronaldo and still scored the winning goal, it just shows his character and the type of ability he has. So Villa have done well to keep hold of him. I think he's a very good squad player.
Yeah, and that's what he is. Like as I say, he's someone that's dependable that can come in a pinch. So Ross, like, what's your thoughts? Like, this Everton team are going to be, I'm not going to say they're going to be difficult to pin down, because they've just sacked their manager, a manager who seemed to be a very toxic relationship with the club. They've lost arguably who they feel was their best defensive player and potentially their best creative player in Lucas Digne.
To our gain.
Exactly, to our gain. And he's now going to be in Claret and Blue at the weekend. And they've got Big Duncan, who's like fan favorite over the team at the weekend. So, like, for me, I don't know what to make of Everton. I fully expect Aston Villa to go out, and you would have to expect them to win. But, you know, I just don't know what to make of Everton. When you look down at Everton's team, Ross, they've got some superb players. You know, Michael Keane, international. Yerry Mina, international. Jordan Pickford, international. Ben Godfrey, international. Mikolenko, international. Damari Gray, not an international. Andre Gomez, international. Doucouré, international. Anthony Gordon, not an international. Calvert-Lewin, an international. Richarlison, an international. Like, I could go on and on and on. They've got big name players in big positions in the field, but they just, for the last 3 years, they just haven't been able to put it together.
Yeah, you know, Everton's a tricky one. You can go back to when the new owners bought the club. Their strategy was quite poor, and it reminded me a little bit of the old Villa under Tony Chai, where they just started spending money and splashing the cash, and they didn't really have any structure, and that showed. I mean, I would have personally wanted Rafa to stay for another week, because they were on such a bad run. I would have taken the 3 points, and I'm sure if we played them against with Rafa still in charge, that was pretty much almost a given. But yeah, it's going to be a tricky one, especially with Duncan Ferguson there. When he was interim manager the last time, he did quite well. So I think Gerrard will know that, and he'll sell out a team that's willing to go. It's going to be a hard game, and it won't be the same Everton team that we played early in the season where we gave them 3-0. And prior for that game, we need Leon Bailey to come on and be a super sub. So it's going to be a hard game. There's no easy game in the Premier League. But the Everton players will be low on confidence, that's for sure. And this might be a potential banana skin because they want to get their confidence up and they see this Villa match as the one, you know, as the target. But I'm optimistic. We're also on a good run. And I think that we should go there and take all 3 points.
Yeah, and this is a good point from Paul. It says the big Dunklin will have them massively fired up. Can't start as slowly as we've been doing as the crowd will start getting behind them. Absolutely, because he's like, we underestimate that. Like, that guy is to Everton as, like, you know, you name it. He is a talisman for Everton Football Club. Like, what he did at that club was they adore him for it. And he's come back and he's been part of the setup and he feels at home there. So, like, if nothing else, you'd be able to talk about that he is going to be able to give his big rah-rah speech inside in that dressing room and tell those players exactly what Everton means and get them fired up. So the standing slowly thing has been annoying for Aston Villa in the last couple of days, last couple of games. And we certainly can't afford to do it at the weekend because, yeah, it'd be, this would be a real confidence sapper and a real confidence blow if we were to lose it. Because, yes, we only drew 2-2 with Manchester United, but to lose to Everton at the weekend, there would be serious questions asked about that. Yeah, like, are we what we really think we are at that stage? But I don't think we are going to lose. But, you know, we do need to kind of, as you said, potential banana skin here. It's a very famous phrase in Irish football. The phrase when Steve Staunton, our former manager and former Aston Villa player, went out and said that San Marino were a potential banana skin for Ireland. The San Marino just shouldn't be a potential banana skin for anybody. But it was an interesting phrase. But this Everton game does have the potential to kind of creep up and catch us if we aren't on the marks from minute go. And I suppose when we look at the team, we've already spoken about Sanson maybe coming into midfield. Let's talk about kind of the elephant in the room up front. Watkins and Ings, Ross, talk to me about that because, you know, it's like the proof is there's almost a pudding there. Yeah,
playing them together. And I think, you know what, you have to call it for what it is, Neil. There's no hiding behind it. I mean, between the two players, we spent just over, 50 million between both of them. And sometimes you're going to have to make the hard choices, but I don't think they can play together. Not in both attacking roles anyway. If we're going to get them to play together, then Watkins might have to drop to the left wing, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. So we have to look at it for what it is. It's been 6 months. We're going into the second half of the season now. If there was something there, we would have seen it. I mean, a couple goals here and there, a couple of good link-up play as well. It, for me, it doesn't consolidate having both of them start at the same time together. And performances from the past, you know, just back up what I'm saying. When you have Ings up front by himself or Watkins up front by himself, other players are also brought into the game. The link-up is a lot better too. I wouldn't have them together up front because I feel that we struggle. And I think Gerrard is trying to push that agenda by bringing Coutinho, by having Jacob Ramsey also lying deep and, you know, pushing his playmaking skills up there. And Buendia, you know, he wants to have that loaded attack from midfield to our strikers. But unless something drastic turns around, you know, very time soon, I don't think they'll be starting together for much longer.
It's interesting. I agree. I don't think that the club can justify starting the two of them and dropping Buendia at the moment. Just the form that he's in, like, I'd completely forgotten about the ball he played for Danny Ings' goal against Brentford. It was just like It was silky smooth. And then he played a very similar ball like that, a little nudge forward between the defender and the fullback, just down the side of the defender for Jacob Ramsey for Coutinho's goal at the weekend. Yes. So Buendia isn't going to be dropped. We do have Coutinho that will come in. He is going to command an automatic starting position in that number 10 role. And that means that Watkins or Ings needs to decide who's going to start scoring goals up there or who wants to be fed by the two of them. Also, you've got Chuck Moeko, who came off the bench the weekend. I thought was absolutely brilliant. I've watched it back again. He was the most energetic and the most, I'm going to say, the most grown up I've ever seen him on the field. Yes. Even more so than when he played against Man City, because he did dirty work. And then he also got into the box and was kind of clever about when he made his runs forward. So, kind of piggybacking on the point that you made there about the two of them, I think it's between the two of them, they're going to have to decide who actually really wants it and start scoring goals, because it's great to have the two of them. And I think both of them can take that central striking role. But this isn't the competition that we envisaged when we signed them. We wanted them to be in competition.
You wanted them to complement each other.
Yes, exactly. And maybe have the two of them in the field. But it isn't panning out that way. So now we need one of them to step up to the plate and start being our goal scorer, which is really interesting. And there's a really good. I completely forgot about this, Christine. Buendia's pass in preseason for Watkins was just absolutely excellent. I'm going to say it was against Salernitana. I think that's who it was. Who it was against? But it was a beauty. It was from inside his own half, and he just split.
Yes, I remember that.
Right down the middle. Absolutely excellent. Absolutely excellent. Claudia is right here as well. We're not in a good run at the moment. We're on a bad run. The United draw could be a turning point. Well, we were on a bad run before the United, right? That's what you said. And we're saying that this is a potential banana skin that we need to win to keep the positivity flowing, for sure. So look, I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you think, like give us a score prediction for the weekend, Ross?
Against Everton?
Yeah.
I don't see us keeping a clean sheet. I think Big Dunk Ferguson will have his Everton squad quite fired up. I would like to say 2-1. I think Coutinho will grab another goal. And yeah, I think Coutinho will be a big, big player for this game. Coutinho and probably another goal from Ramsey. I just don't see Ings or Watkins like growing into the game. And if I may just touch on something you said before about Ings and Watkins, about how one of them has to decide who's actually going to start banging the goals. That's the worst thing strikers, especially partnership strikers, have to come to terms with, because they know one of them is going to be dropped. That gives more motivation for each of them to be quite selfish with the ball. So if you're expecting them to be linking up to try and have them both in the squad, then think again. One of them is going to step up, and either it's going to be to both of the detriment, or one of them is going to outshine the other and get that starting berth. And the World Cup is coming up as well. Watkins would be hungry to get back in that England squad. I know he was quite upset when he lost his place to Bamford. And Ings might also want to have a shout. So there is going to be extra motivation, and their performances on the pitch are going to speak for themselves.
Yeah. And hopefully we profit from that, and they both find their scoring boots. And even if one does have to come off the bench, we still need a scoring threat from the bench. So it's within our it's what we want. We don't want one to just kind of leapfrog the other. We want both of them to be scoring goals. But the thing is here, we need a goal scorer within this team.
Yes.
No point in having all the window dressing with a decent midfield, two very, very good number 10s. You need someone to put it in the back of the net up top as well. And I'm quite confident that one of them will step above the parapet and start to do that. Well, Ross, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on tonight. Really, really enjoy chatting to you all the way down in South Africa. I just realized there must be, I don't even know what the time difference is. A little time, is the time difference that bad in South Africa? I think it's not too bad.
It's about 2 hours from UK time. So right now it's about 10 to 10 at night.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I don't feel so bad now. I thought it was closer to 12 o'clock. I don't feel so bad being a bit late now. But Ross, do you want to tell everybody where they can find and maybe join the Villains Club that you have there, Supporters Club?
Yes, of course. Thank you for that. You can find us on Instagram at Villains South Africa or on Facebook at Aston Villa Fans South Africa.
Cool. And do you have a Twitter?
No, just Instagram and Facebook.
Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, the world of Twitter can be crazy, the craziest world.
Yeah.
I live in there. I live in
We're Twitter. Not at that stature yet.
But get on there. It's a good way to meet other Villa fans as well. But you heard it there, guys. If you're interested, if any of you are thinking of going on safari when whatever restrictions in whatever country you're living in at the moment lift, you know, I know I was talking to a mate of mine. He said, God, I haven't been able to go to the pub in like 2.5 years. I don't know what I'm going to do with my money when the place opens up. And he actually mentioned he was thinking of going on safari. He's not a Villa fan, but if Villa are playing the team that he's playing against, I'll send him your way. Maybe for a recommendation for somewhere to wet his whistle and have a pint. But I really appreciate you coming on, Ross. Wish all the success with the South African Supporters Club, and hopefully it continues to go strength to strength. And you never know, hopefully we have a South African player playing for Aston Villa in the near future that can grow the fan base, just like Marvelous Nakamba has done and even Samata has done in the past. Unless we forget Trezeguet with all the Egyptian fans that we've had as well on the back of that too. But really, really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate everybody here watching as well. A bit of an earlier time. Thank you so much for bearing with me while I was a bit late earlier on. We'll be back with a team sheet tantrum on Saturday. Master Patrick will be back with us once again, and we will do the team sheet tantrum. Keep an eye on Twitter for more information about that. So once again, Ross, I want to say absolute thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate everybody watching tonight. Onwards and upwards towards Everton. I'm sure everyone will be glued to hear Steven Gerrard's comments tomorrow on potentially the Ezri Konsa situation. We'll be back to talk about all that on Saturday. And until then, everybody, stay safe. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.